Log Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Welcome, everyone, to the Roman Show MMA edition with my co-host, Guillermo Stoneface Garcia. Guillermo, I came in with AC/DC listening to Thunderstruck because you're about to be struck with professionalism and credible sources here on the Roman Show. How are you doing today, my man, Guillermo?
No, everything's great. Disappointing news yesterday about MMA, but everything's great.
No doubt about it, Guillermo. Let's let in our listeners what to expect on tonight's show. Tonight, we're going to have ex-FC fighter Nikolai Curry call in. He is an American top team standout. We will also have an exclusive interview with UFC fighter Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres. Also, we will have, fresh off her first victory in mixed martial arts, Susie Montero, who defeated Strikeforce veteran Kim Couture. Guillermo was out there covering that event, and she saw Susie's first victory in MMA, Guillermo. And you'll definitely have a lot of questions for her.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't wait to talk to her again.
Guillermo, just in a few minutes, we will have, and this was not publicized or anything, but we are expecting a phone call from UFC veteran Dean Thomas. Dean Thomas will speak to us live on an exclusive interview. Now, as far as I am concerned, Dean Thomas has not spoken publicly about the accident that he was that took place on October 7th on his way to his return to the cage when he was scheduled to fight George Shepard at an event in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on October 7th. Sadly, the promoter announced that he had been involved in a car accident, and from what I have been told and understand, it was very severe, and Dean Thomas was very badly banged up, but we could possibly see him inside the cage sometime. Dean will call in soon and inform all of our fans, all of our listeners, exactly what happened on that night. In fact, it was a very rainy night that night, Guillermo, as we were actually out there covering that event. And I'm glad to hear that Dean Thomas is good, alive and well, and we're going to hear his words tonight, Guillermo. And you know, I was just heartbroken when I heard the news.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really looking forward to his return, and hopefully he'll get better soon, and we'll be able to see him return to action.
All right, guys, let's start with the news.
News of the day.
All right, guys, as Guillermo stated, BJ Penn and Nick Diaz now will headline UFC 137 on Saturday, October 28th. That's at the 28th, right? I got that date correct, right, Guillermo? You know, it's just a change of weather.
Yeah.
It's just change of weather, Guillermo. You know what I mean? It's a little chilly out here in Miami, Florida this time of year around. Kind of weird. Nonetheless, BJ Penn and Nick Diaz will headline UFC 137. After GSP suffered a knee injury, he was expected to fight Carlos Condit for the welterweight championship belt. Now, this is thin. GSP stated and admitted that he actually shed a tear when he suffered this knee injury. So it was that severe that GSP actually shed a tear. Now, speaking about Diaz and BJ Penn headlining the UFC 137, today Diaz was late for a media call. Now, if we recall, Diaz was expected to actually fight against GSP, but because he didn't meet the requirements of showing up to press conferences twice in a row. Dana White kicked him out of the main event and brought in Carlos Condit for the opportunity. Nonetheless, Diaz showed up 45 minutes, and Twitter was blowing up. Everyone was worried. Everyone was wondering whether this fight was going to happen or not. Was he going to be suspended? But there he was. Diaz came out, and he spoke to the fans. According to him, he wasn't even aware of the media call. Now, Diaz has requested. He wants to prove to the world that he can last five rounds. So he requested that the main event be five rounds. Now, this is what BJ Penn had to say about this. And I quote him, "If Dana wants a five-round fight, just give me a call, and we can put it together right now. Or if Caesar, who happens to be the trainer of Nick Diaz, wants to make it a five-round fight and he wants to compensate me personally, he can put his money where his mouth is. It's that easy. I've been training to fight. I'm ready to fight." So there it is. If Diaz wants his five-round fight, Penn is more than happy to meet his desire. Also, another news in reference to the UFC, Paulo Fijo says he will be retiring after his next fight. M1 Global took place this weekend on Showtime, and in fact, they had a strong support as it drew in 185,000 viewers. It was the third time M1 Challenge show was on the air. By comparison, the Strikeforce Challenger series on Showtime has averaged 207,000 viewers per event in 2011. Former The Ultimate Fighter 8 winner Efraín Escudero will be facing Cesar Avila on Bellator this weekend. This fight was put together last night, and the fight will air on Spike.com. Bellator has an event this weekend, and so does XFC up north here in Florida. And speaking about Bellator, our very own Alexis Vila will be on the card. He will be fighting against Marcos Galvo for the bantamweight tourney semifinal. And also on the card, they got Ed West versus Eduardo Dantas. We got the champ Christian Mpumbo versus Travis Weef for a non-title light heavyweight championship belt. The belt will be on the line. Also, another fight on the card, Ricardo Tirloni versus Steve Gable. And then on the prelims, like mentioned, Avila versus Escudero, Carlos Flores versus Richard Hale, Edgar Garcia versus Jacob Ortiz, Eden Beach versus Roscoe Jackson, Nick Piedmont versus Jade Porter, and Dano Moore versus Steve Steinbay. So that's the card for Bellator this Saturday. I'm excited to see that, and a lot of positive eyes out there to Alexis Viles, who will be representing Miami, Florida. Guillermo, so a lot of news happening here after this information was revealed about GSP not being a part of the main event. A lot of people were expecting him to fight. You know, he's a big draw, so Dana White actually, he tweeted when he got to New York the fact that he wasn't going to fight, and he said, boy, you know, just my luck that he won't be participating in UFC 137, as we were all looking forward to his return. And guys, if you want to participate on tonight's show, the number to call is 714-868-0222. That's 714-868-0222. If you want to communicate with us, you want to give a shout-out, head on over to Twitter. You can write there, at RomanDH, that's at RomanDH. Or for all the chat guys out there, feel free to type in whatever you feel, and we will go ahead and read your shout-out or answer your question. So just join the chat, guys. Or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/RodolphoRRoman, and follow my man Guillermo at Stoneface16. That is on Twitter. Guillermo saw a lot of news coming out from the MMA world, although a little bit of slow. It hasn't been that productive. It's a little bit quiet. But Guillermo, your thoughts on this whole GSP injury?
Yeah, it's a shame. I was really looking forward to the fight with Condit because I felt that Condit was aggressive enough to really test GSP, and Condit has the kind of jiu-jitsu not to necessarily threaten GSP with submission, but to not be held down in his back like a lot of GSP's opponents were. So it's really disappointing. You know, it's bad enough that most UFC champions only fight two times a year, but the injuries just make the situation worse. Well, now GSP will likely have only fought once in a whole year, and you've got all these contenders that are backing up, and not enough title shots to go around to get everybody their proper shot. It's a big shame, you know?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for GSP, but as mentioned, GSP definitely felt the pain when he had his knee injury, but we can definitely expect him out there inside the cage one more time. Guillermo, we're going to go to UFC veteran Dean Thomas on the line, who joins us. Dean, man, it's a pleasure to be talking to you this evening, sir.
Man, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Awesome, Dean. Dean, you know, I love the enthusiasm. You're alive, you're awake, you're positive. How you feeling, man?
Man, I feel good, you know. The world keeps spinning, so I got to spin with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't be held down. I can't even be slowed down. I just keep moving.
Amen to that, Dean. Dean, I want to inform the listeners out here and the folks that were at the show at the October 7th event. Tell us exactly what happened on this show. That we were notified of this incident about an hour, about 2 hours, actually, at the start of the show. But roughly around 9 p.m., that's when we were notified at the arena, 9:30 p.m. What happened, Dean?
Well, see, I would love to get into the details, man. I can't get into too many details. I could just say, I got banged up a little bit, but I'm all right now, and I can keep moving forward. But I got banged up a little bit, I wrecked, got in a car accident, and I got banged up, but. I'm healthy now, and I can keep moving forward, and I'm just trying to look into the future and see where I can go from there, really.
Now, Dean, exactly what injuries did you suffer from this car accident, Dean?
Well, I bruised my rib, and I just, suffered just, like, my back. I'm having back problems and my hip problems. Initially, I had some stuff going on with my wrist, but, I heal really fast, and so now my wrist is pretty good. I'm still suffering from some back pain and some hip pain, and still my ribs is bruised. But other than that, I'm ready to get back on the mat. I'm ready to start training. I'm dying over here.
Wow, Dean. When we heard the news, my heart just fell on the floor, man. We were definitely expecting you to get in there, and I had seen you at the weigh-in, and you look good. And you were training very hard. You looked great in shape. And you were very respectful. You went out to George Shepherd, your opponent that you were supposed to face. And everyone was geared up for it. And I just heard silence out there in that arena. And everyone in the MMA community was buzzing about this and worried about you. And I'm so glad that you were able to call us and inform us about your status.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate everybody in the community, with their concern and their support for me. I heard how it went down, and I appreciate everything everybody did. Definitely, appreciate what Fight Time Promotions, Carl and Howard, and all their support, and George Shepherd too. I mean, he's a good guy. Unfortunately, we didn't get the fight. But he's a good competitor. He's got a good heart, and I wish we had got a chance to fight. It's unfortunate we didn't get a chance to fight, but sometimes that's just how it is in life. I mean, this ain't the first time something crazy has happened in a fight. I mean, it's definitely the first time, I think the person has gotten injured, in a car accident on the way to the fight. But other than that, it's times like this where the MMA community comes together, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt, Dean. And like I said, as soon as we were all notified about this, and it was all over the internet, everyone just kept putting, prayers for Dean. And it shows how much the community respect you and values what you have offered to the MMA community and how much they love you out there. And again, we're happy and grateful to have you here on the phone and speaking to you. Now, the question that everyone wants to hear, you said you're okay, you were a little banged up, but when can we expect you at least training?
It's slowly but surely. I'm the type of guy, like, this isn't my first time ever being injured, but I'm the type of guy that always pushes it. Even when I had knee surgery, I had three knee surgeries, and I was on the mat, when I wasn't supposed to be. I was in a cast. I had a broken arm once, and I was in a cast on the mat doing as much as I can. I'm just that type of guy. So, as soon as I feel like I can get on the mat and start doing something, I'm going to get on the mat and start doing something, whether it's just drilling technique or rolling around with little kids or whatever it is that I can do. I'm going to get on the mat, and I'm hoping, within the next couple of weeks, I've been just willing myself to get better. I talked to Thiago Alves today, and I told him, I said, man, in a couple of weeks, man, I'm coming back down, man, so get ready for me. So I'm hoping in a couple of weeks I'll feel better, still good enough to, bang it out with some pros.
But, you know, but slowly but surely I'm going to come to that and do what I can do, whether it's shadow boxing or whatever it is that I can do.
Now, can we, I mean, recuperation at times could take a year, months, weeks, days. Can we expect you to fight next year?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, in fact, like, I have a grappling match, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu match scheduled in Costa Rica at the end of November. So, you know, I'm gonna push, you know, push everything I got in order to make that happen. You know, I don't want to, I hate not being able to compete. I hate, you know, especially when I'm in competition mode. And right now I'm in competition mode. And, you know, I don't want this setback to really, you know, set me back too far. So I'm going to be competing in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Master Super Fight in Costa Rica at the end of November. I think it's the end of November, early December. I'm going to be doing that. And hopefully, you know, sometime next year I can get a fight. You know, I'm just really looking forward to, you know, doing my thing and showcasing. You know, I'm getting old, man. I got to get out there and show everybody what I'm made of.
You'll be all right, Dean. Come on. Your body recuperates fast. And you know what's great about Shemanzi is that positive attitude. You know, you always have that positive attitude. And if you have that, you can go far, 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 far places, Dean. Now, I know you can't get into details, and I respect your decision out there, but it was a rainy night that day, and I could just imagine what would have happened on that night. But tell me, is this in any way, did it affect you when you came out? Like, gosh, did you say to yourself, like, gosh, is this the end for me? What was going through your head, Dean?
No, never did I ever feel like it was the end for me. I felt like, you know, I've been through so many different trials and tribulations throughout my career, and it just seems like, you know, the further along I've gotten in my career, you know, it seems like it's easier to have, you know, different, you know, setbacks and things like that. So I looked at it as if it was just something else like that. I mean, even up until last year, you know, I've had the Maorga thing fell through. I had another fight, like, immediately after Maorga was supposed to fight, I had another fight fall through. And just, you know, just those things just happen in MMA, or not even in MMA, I mean in life. You know, in life, life is a succession of ups and downs, and the more you roll the dice, the more downs you're going to have. So I just try to look at it like that, you know, as if, you know, sometimes you just have bad luck. But you just got to keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Guillermo, question for Dean Thomas.
Yeah, Dean, like you said, you've been fighting for a long time. How much longer do you expect to be a fighter?
I'm not sure. You know, every year I tell myself, this is it, I'm retiring. But I will never profess that to the world, because if I profess it to the world, I'm going to have to be, you know, I'm going to be held accountable for it. And I'm not one of them type of guys that's going to, you know, retire and then come back. You know, I don't want to ever retire and come back. Like, when I really tell myself I'm over, then that's it, I'm not going to do it no more. So when I tell the world that I'm going to retire, I'm never coming back. But I tell myself every day, nah, I'm retired. But I can't. I have to come back. So as far as I'm concerned right now, you know, I was actually just talking to one of the guys at America Top Team. He's a buddy from England. And he was saying, oh, man, you got to get 7 years left in you to take care of your body. I don't know if I can do another 7 years just because, like, mentally and psychologically it's tough. But
right.
I see me doing it for, you know, maybe another 3 years.
Well, Dean, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step out of the mic now. And if you want to talk to your listeners out there, your fans, you want to give them a message, the mic's all yours, Dean.
Yeah, put them up. Put them up to me.
If you want to give them a message, anyone out there, if anyone wants to call.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone wants to call. Go ahead.
I know you got Nikolai coming on soon, so I don't want to step on his toes. But, you know, just for now, I just tell the fans, you know, keep supporting the whole, you know, MMA. I mean, you know, it's a tough game as it is. And, you know, when we hating on each other and doing crazy stuff like that, you just make it harder for everybody. So keep supporting MMA. And I appreciate the way everybody came together and banded together for me, you know, during this hard time. But, you know, just keep supporting the game. Everybody in the game, you know, go to the shows, support the shows, support the promotions, support the fighters. You know, because we need each other. We need each other to make it and survive in this game.
Absolutely, Dean. Dean, thank you so very much for taking some time off out of your schedule and your healing process. And I hope a very speedy recovery. I hope to see you inside the cage soon, Dean.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you. Good night. Well, Guillermo, they heard the words of Dean Thomas, doing a lot better. And at first, Guillermo, when we were at this Fort Lauderdale event, and I was sitting right next to you, my face just turned pale, man. Couldn't believe a Dean that had gotten into this car accident, and I couldn't even fathom that this man, who's always in a very positive mood and a very happy-go-lucky attitude, would get involved in an accident. But there he is. He's back at it again. You heard the words. In fact, as I stated earlier today, it is the first time you hear publicly UFC veteran Dean Thomas talk about the accident. He couldn't get into details, and we respect that. But you heard that he's ready to go, and he might be competing in a grappling match in Costa Rica next month, Guillermo. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, glad to hear he's recovering so well, and like I said, it sounds like he's definitely on his way back.
Absolutely, you know, that's always great, and like I said, you know, we all got to support each other, especially in the MMA community. Now, if you want to call in, the number is 714-868-0222. That's the number to call in and to participate to the show. That's 714-868-0222. You can call us here and have your opinions and perhaps say something about the Dean Thomas interview, or just ask a question to myself or Guillermo. And Guillermo, we can follow you on Twitter, right? Any other day, correct?
Absolutely. Stoneface 16, I'm on there. If you have any questions for me or want to get my opinion on anything, just let me know and we'll talk about it.
And Guillermo's a very tough critic. I've seen him very much out there, and trust me, when this guy, you know, they just released a UFC encyclopedia, but I think that Guillermo is a walking human being of an encyclopedia when it comes to MMA, because when you need some sort of a response, this guy has it. In fact, Guillermo, we were talking about the other day, and you know, the incident happened down here in South Florida with Dean Thomas getting in an accident, but there was a UFC show where not the exact same thing happened, but there was an injury backstage, and the
right.
fight never happened.
Yeah, it was around UFC 20 to 21, around there. Kevin Randleman was the UFC heavyweight champ of the world at the time. And he was getting ready. The co-main event was going on, and he was getting ready to come out for the main event. And he slipped on a puddle backstage, knocked himself out with a concrete floor, and he slipped, and they had to take him away. And the UFC kind of handled it badly back then. This is before Dana and all them owned it. And instead of telling the audience, hey, guys, Kevin Randleman knocked himself out, so it's not going to be a main event tonight, they kind of just let the co-main event happen. They rushed all the UFC officials and all the fighters from the co-main event out of the arena. Didn't tell the crowd anything about there not being a main event. The crowd just sat there for 30 minutes waiting for the main event to start before they realized that there was not going to be any main event.
Wow. See, that just tells you, man. And that just shows you how much this sport has evolved. That,
yeah.
You know, they go out there and publicly speak about the issue, or they put out a press release, or they release a video. It's not just a statement personally, but they let the entire world know what happened.
Right.
And it just shows you how much not only has communication has evolved, especially with the internet and so forth, but you know, professionalism has evolved in the promotion of MMA. So definitely you can see the big difference there, that if this would have happened, say, 20 years ago, it would have been handled probably a lot differently than how it was this time around. But nonetheless, we're going to have now Guillermo, Nikolai Curry. We're going to speak to him any minute now. He is actually preparing, Guillermo, for a fight this weekend. That's going to take place at XFC. We saw him in action, actually, at the MMA event here at CFA. That was earlier this month. And Guillermo, there was definitely a lot of MMA action this weekend here in South Florida. You had CFA, you had the event over there in Fort Lauderdale, and then this weekend we had the W1 event, which you covered, Guillermo. Tell us a little about your experience out there and covering the event.
Well, W1, it happened over at UM at the Bank United Center, and it featured the main event being Marcus, the Irish hand grenade Davis, who's gotten 3 consecutive wins since his departure from the UFC. He's a longtime veteran, very respected. A lot of success during his UFC career. And he was facing Ultimate Fighter Chuck O'Neill, who had just been released from the UFC not that long ago in his first fight back after being released. And they had a very, very hard-fought battle very, very close fight. I mean, the first round, impossible to score. I didn't know who exactly had come out on top. And they split the second and third round. So very, very close split decision there at the end. And O'Neal ended up taking it. But it could have gone either way. And, you know, there was a couple of other – I mean, there was so fights overall. So it was a very action-packed show, not too many decisions. So
right.
It's good if you guys can come out and, you know –
okay.
Everybody come out to the MMA here in Miami.
Okay. All right, Guillermo, now on the line, we have Nikolai Curry, who will be fighting this week in Orlando. Nikolai, how are you doing today, my man? Nikolai, can you hear me out there?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good in yourself. I know you're getting ready for your fight this weekend in Orlando. In fact, they changed your fight out of nowhere. I know there was a change out there. You're going to be facing Elijah Harshbarger in Orlando this Saturday, part of XFC, and this event actually will air on HDNet. Is your fight going to also air on HDNet, or they're working on that?
Yeah, I'm on the main card. I'm going to be fighting again Elijah Harshenberg, and very tough guy, good wrestler, Division One wrestler. So it's going to be a war, you know, on a Friday night. So, yeah.
Now, Nikolai, we saw you in action here against Jose Caceres in CFA 3. And,
mm-hmm.
and I remember that fight quite well, where you pulled out that armbar submission out of nowhere. I was impressed, and I have seen you fight a couple of times. Caceres is a flashy fighter, but you were very cool, very calm, very patient, and you just waited what to nail him with that submission. And what can we expect from you this weekend at XFC?
Talking a little bit about the Jose fight, I think we always have to keep our composure, you know, and, you know, keep cool during the fight, you know, and try to be smart. And Jose is one of the most talented guys in Miami right now, you know, I believe that, and it was a tough fight. And I think that fight made me ready for this one, you know, that was 9 days ago. It was such a war, you know, and, you know, so it made me even more prepared for this fight on Friday. And I'm expecting, you know, to go for another war. You know, it doesn't matter to go one round, two rounds, three rounds, you know. Whatever happens, happens. I just want to, you know, like you said, keep my composure and do my best.
Nikolai, that's definitely true. You're taking this fight in less than 2 weeks. How did this fight come about? Because you last fought on October 9th, if I'm correct, and here we are.
Exactly.
You know, 10 days after. How did this come about, Nikolai, getting this fight for this
Saturday? Actually, the same day that I signed the contract with CFA, the guys from XFC called me and offered me a fight, and I was, like, honest to them. I said, I just signed a contract to fight on the 9th. They say, that's no problem, you know, if you think you can do it, we trust in you, and, you know, we want you on the card. So that's how it happened. And the only problem for me is to make the weight. You know, I made the weight. I am cutting like 20-something pounds. So I did that 10 days ago, and now I'm doing it again. You know, not the healthiest thing in the world, but I think I'm doing well. You know, I'm trying to be as professional as I can.
Wow, so you're cutting 20 pounds for this fight, Nikolai?
Yeah, I did. I cut 20 pounds for the last one, and I had to come back, you know, because that's my weight. You know, I walk around 195, 190. So, you know, so it's pretty much water weight. So now I'm cutting again, and, you know, but I'm feeling good, you know, no complaints. I'm healthy, you know, everything is fine. I have all my supplements, and, you know, everything is fine.
Well, Nikolai, so that's definitely a challenge. I mean, 20 pounds is 20 pounds in less than what, 14, 15 days, and to prepare this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been some fighters out there that have had some ridiculous loss of weight. And I think some guy lost like 40 pounds or 30 pounds, which is crazy. But you say you feel great losing these 20 pounds. You're okay. You feel healthy. You feel right.
Yeah.
You're okay to get inside the cage.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm right on the edge. You know, I can't cut more than that. But, you know, the way I am right now, I think is working. You know, I'm feeling good during the fight. You know, I'm having like very good people. A lot of people are helping me out with that. You know, I'm having like, I'm being sponsored for a vitamin shop called Berries, and they are really like on the top and help me with everything that I need, you know, and, you know, so it's been okay, you know.
Great. Guillermo, you have a question for Nikolai Curry of American Top Team.
Yeah, Nikolai, being that it's been less than 2 weeks between fights, Do you think that'll have an effect on your cardio going into this next fight?
Yeah, actually, I never did that. I never cut that much of weight in so this short time, you know, so short time. So we're going to find out, you know. I hope not, you know. I did my best. I tried to be on the top of everything, and, you know, so the only way to know is going over there and doing, you know, and, you know, that hope for the best.
So yes, would you see this as one of...
Go ahead, Rome.
Yeah, Nikolai, do you see this as a challenge, the fact that you've lost so much, you know, about 20 pounds, and is this the first time for you to in a fight?
Yeah, for sure it's a challenge, you know, like, it is the hardest part, you know, and I try to keep myself in check all the time and, you know, like, be very smart and everything that I did. Since the time that I weighed in last time, you know, I try to recover it, you know, I try to keep my weight in a good range, you know, so, yeah, but it's a big challenge, for sure, yeah.
Okay, Guillermo, you had a question?
Yeah, Nikolai. Like you said, this guy's a good wrestler that you're fighting. What are you doing to prevent yourself from being grounded for three rounds? What are you doing to prevent that?
Yeah, I am a judo guy, you know. Like, I did a lot of grappling before, and I trained judo and BJJ for my whole life, pretty much. So I'm familiar, you know, with grapplers, you know. But he's a good wrestler, you know. He's very good, and, you know, I'm going to be trying to take him down, too, and I think the attack would be a good defense for me on this one, and... You know, but I always like to strike with my opponents. They always try to take me down and go to the ground for some reason. So I hope this time I take them down or we strike the whole fight, and that's what I'm training for. You know, let's see how it happens.
Well, Nikolai, we definitely wish you a lot of luck, and it's like you said, it's a challenge for you, but I'm sure that you definitely represent South Florida over there. And now this event takes place at the UCF Arena in Orlando on October 21st, this weekend. Checking out Nikolai Curry versus Elijah Harshberger. And on that card, they got Nate Jolly versus the UFC veteran Jamie Barner on that card, a WEC veteran as well. So, Nikolai, you're definitely surrounded by a lot of top guys. Also, another ATT guy on the card there is Mike Bernhardt. He's going to be fighting against Mikey Gomez, so you're not going alone, man, Nikolai.
Yeah, actually, I think he's also on the main card against Mike Gomez, and also have Carmelo Marrero that's fighting the co-main event, so we have, like, ATTs well represented on this one, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Nikolai, do you have I know you have a Facebook, do you have a Twitter that people can follow you and keep up to you about your upcoming fights?
Exactly, Nikolai Curry.
All right, Nikolai Curry. Well, thank you so very much for calling in. And again, a lot of good luck and a lot of positive energy out in your fight this weekend, Nikolai.
Rodolfo, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And I would like to thank my sponsors, MMA Overload, Barry's Vitamin and Herbs, Don't Fight, Fighters, and Fighters Only. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and you have a good night. And get some rest out there. And good luck on this weekend. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, well. Great phone call there from Nikolai Curry. He'll be fighting this weekend, Guillermo. Definitely getting into shape. I mean, 20 pounds, that's a big major cut, Guillermo.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen a lot of fighters who make that kind of cut. I mean, I've heard even more from other fighters like, you know, Rampage has been known to cut from as many as 50 pounds because he likes to eat a bit before, you know, between camps. But, yeah, 20 pounds is still a lot. I mean, you know full well you used to be a wrestler yourself, so...
Yeah, it's well, me on the opposite, and I actually had to gain weight since I weighed 189, and I had to make at least 205. So I had to drink a lot of water, and boy, let me tell you, it's not easy, man. And especially when you have to go to the bathroom and release all the liquid, trust me, it's not fun. I don't know. I think personally I'd rather lose weight than gain the weight, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a big struggle. All right, Guillermo, on the line, we have... Susie Montero made her debut this past weekend, and Susie, you were victorious against Strikeforce veteran Kim Couture. Susie, welcome to the show again. Congratulations, Susie.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so very much. I'm so, so very happy.
Well, Susie, unfortunately, I wasn't there, but my co-host Guillermo Garcia was out there, and he definitely saw your victory. Guillermo, you have a couple of questions for Susie.
Yeah, Susie, how do you feel about how you did in the fight?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It's so crazy that I was so happy for, like, I guess the first 48 hours, and then I got to see a video, and I was like, oh my gosh, I could have done so much more. What the hell happened? Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, let me say that. It was kind of like a dream. Like, you know, you tell your body what to do, and it just kind of doesn't do it. Oh my gosh, it was crazy. It was surreal. I'm not gonna lie to you. It just felt like a dream. It was fantastic. I had a great time. I would have thrown a lot more punches because, I mean, when I can let my hands go and I just don't know what happened. I wish I would have thrown some more kicks, some cleaner kicks. I had so many takedowns, didn't do them. I just really kind of played it safe, if I can think. I don't know.
Yeah, now in the first round, it seemed that you spent most of the round clinched up with Kim, and you just were barely, you know, all you did really was throw knees to her thighs. You really didn't do much else than that. I mean, you kind of work on that, trying to, like, open up a little bit more from the clinch?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
It seemed like in the first round of the fight with you and him, you spent most of the round clinched up, and all you really did was throw knees to her thighs. You didn't really do much else. Are you looking to open up a little bit more than that, I guess?
Am I looking to open up more?
Yeah, no, I was saying
it sounds like loud in the background, that's why I can't hear.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, in the first round, it seemed like, you know, you were clinched up with Kim a lot, and all you could really do is just throw knees at her thighs. I mean, what are you going to do to remedy that the next time? You didn't really open up in that first round.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to definitely work on my takedowns. I had so many takedowns in so many different spots and times of the fight, and I didn't commit. I didn't. That's what I'm telling you. It's really funny because it was just kind of like a dream because, you know, especially when you train something over and over again and you just kind of got stuck. But I think it's going to come with experience. So, yeah, that's definitely what I'm going to do. I'm going to be able to handle her or if my next opponent against the cage and still be able to strike.
Right. Now, in the second round, it appeared that Kim basically just grounded you for the duration, almost the entire second round. You didn't really go for too many submissions off your back. What exactly happened in the second round?
The only one that actually saw what happened besides myself, was her knee was on my hair, and I couldn't get up to grab her or to even, like, when I would try to do submissions, I couldn't get my hips to go higher because of that. And then finally when she stood up, I got the chance to push her off of me. But, yeah, definitely, I know that the second round, I said it to, I don't know who I said it to, MMA, Florida, something like that. Anyways, that she had won definitely the second round, I thought.
That was the round that the judges gave to her. Yeah, you took the first and third, and she took the second. Now, in the third round, at the very end. Yeah, absolutely. Now, in the third round, you had a guillotine there in the last 10 seconds of the round. How tight was that?
Oh, my gosh. I was just getting in position. Really, maybe if I had maybe 3 more seconds, I would have been able to finish it. But, no, it was – I felt like I won the fight completely. She was gassed out completely, definitely in the last round, and I could have done so much more. I know that one of the times, even though, you know, you're saying that I just held her mostly against the cage, I was still working, trust me, because when the referee separated us, she was like, no, and I was like, yes, let's do it, let's finish it. But I'm sure that she felt the damage to her legs. You know,
but trust me, the knees,
the legs, trust me, they hurt.
No, I believe you. Now, in the third round, you spent most of the round actually trying to take her back. And she did a pretty good job defending. By one point, you actually were on her back, like, with hooks in, and she was carrying your weight. Now, you dominated that third round.
That part right there, my coach asked me, he was like, what the hell was that all about? I go, honestly, I was not trying to submit her in any kind of way. I was just trying to kill some time, have some fun, see what would happen. I was not trying to submit her. I couldn't submit her anyway. She had one of my arms.
I see.
So, you know, it would have taken some time.
How did your cardio hold up?
I looked over to the screen. My cardio, like I said, it just kind of felt like a dream, but I definitely blasted. Hey, and that's one thing that I'm definitely happy to say. that I know I can last the 3 rounds. But I definitely lasted 3 rounds just fine. I think I could have pushed harder. But, you know, like I said, all that comes in experience. I haven't fought in about 6, almost 7 years. I only trained for this fight for like 3 months. So, you know, I only expect to come out much better next time. You know, I definitely took this fight serious. I never went in there with any kind of, how do you call it, pensamiento, or thought, basically, that she was going to be easy. She's a tough cookie, man. So, you know, just I'm going to definitely prepare a lot harder for any next opponent. Cause, you know,
so is that your plan? Do you plan on taking a fight pretty soon? Like, what's your plan?
I wouldn't, if I could, maybe do one in December. I would. If not, I would wait to probably February. It's something definitely that I have to figure out with my husband, because, you know, he is definitely trying to go back to fighting too. And, you know, this last time training at the same time was way too much for us. It was way too much. So I don't know if we want to, like, you know, alternate, you know, you fight one, you know, every 2-3 months, and the next time I fight, you know, something like that. But it's just too much. You know, we got a family. He, you know, he drives an hour to work and from work to home, you know, every day. And it's just, you know, we don't have a lot of help. We don't have family that's close by to help us with the kids, you know. So we'll figure it out, but I definitely want to keep on fighting. So maybe, you know, like I said, depends on what shows up, if it's a great opportunity, you know, money-wise, you know, just never know. Never know.
Well, Susie, you've had some other victories. I know you did Muay Thai. Where will you rank this victory in your combat fighting career?
Well, this is my what?
Where would you rank this victory in your fighting career, since you have fought in other martial arts disciplines?
Like what number? I mean, I think for kickboxing in 2004 or something like that, I was like number 18, but I didn't really get to fight that much. It seems like every time that I would try to start to get serious into the fighting, something happened, you know, they kind of, you know, postpone it for a second. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to do right now, is trying to get as many fights as I can in there and, you know, keep it going.
Wonderful. Well, Susie, thank you so very much for calling in and to the show, and you're always welcome out here. And we hope to hear from you very soon, and tell us about your upcoming fight, Susie.
Okay, as soon as I have one, I'll definitely let you know. Thank you for having me on the show. And to Guillermo, I'm sure that the next time I'll put on a better show for you.
Well, I mean, you did clearly win the fight.
I hope to entertain you.
Yeah,
huh?
No, but I mean, like, hopefully, you know, like, you know, we can see more of your stand-up, maybe, like, because, like, there wasn't there wasn't much stand-up in the fight. It was mostly spent in the clinch and on the ground.
It was insane. Like, so many people told me, like, why didn't you let your hands go? You could have knocked her out in the last round.
Yeah,
you
because you got her with
a
good punch
kick
there in the third round, which actually set up you taking her back. So you actually were doing really well when it was stood up.
There's two things that I was talking to somebody about that. Let me hurry up, because I know you guys probably have another guest. I guess I've become kind of like a counter fighter. Like, you gotta hit me, and when you hit me, it's on, mother lovers. She wasn't really hitting me, so it was just kind of like, you know, I was chilling. I was like, you know, whatever. I don't know. There's no excuses. And like I said, you know, it felt like a dream. So, like, I'll just train much harder, so the next time it'll just be, you know, that much more entertaining, that more, you know. I definitely want to show my striking skills, that's for sure, and my jiu-jitsu skills. And, you know, I might have to cut my hair. What can I tell you?
Yo, the crowd was really behind you. They were really excited to see your victory. So it was a great moment for you. Congratulations.
I'm telling you, I've been through so much. And, like, a lot of those people have been there and through it with me, that they knew that, you know, it didn't matter whether I came out and gave, like, the best show or the worst, that I was just going to be victorious, and that I was going to do the best that I could. You know, kind of funny that you asked me about my gas, because every time I looked and I was like, the 5 minutes is over. I need more time. it was insane. But like I said, experience. I will definitely be ready for the next one to be a lot more entertaining. This is
thank you so very much again for calling in. And again, keep us up to date on your upcoming fight, and we'll see you inside the cage.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a great night.
You too. Thank you, Susie. Alrighty, get wow, Guillermo, man, you're on point, huh?
Well, no, like I said, I remember that fight very, very well. She did a great job just the second round. Kim kind of just laid and preyed on her in the second round, but otherwise she did a great job. She pressed Kim up against the cage in the first round. She had Kim mounted in the first round, even though Kim was able to get out of that pretty quickly. And in the third round, Susie was on Kim's back the entire round and secured a really tight guillotine. Unfortunately, Kim got saved by the bell. But Susie clearly won that fight 29-28.
Well, so far we've had an exciting show, Guillermo. We had UFC veteran Dean Thomas call in, tell us a little bit about his incident and the accident. He couldn't get into details, but what we have learned is that a little bruise, a little bump and bruise there is not going to stop him, and he will be competing, or he's going to try his best to compete in a grappling tournament in Costa Rica. We also have Nikolai Curry so far. I mean, the list of guests just keeps going up and up here on the Roman Show, Guillermo. And by the way, guys, you've seen the success we've had so far. We've only been on the air since August, so it hasn't even been that long. So, guys, you saw the success. You saw how many people we have here calling in. If you want to sponsor a show, guys, email me at romandh@yahoo.com. That's romandh@yahoo.com. Go ahead, and we could either mention your promotion, or your clothing, or your store, your school, what may be, or we can work something out and make sure to help you and your business grow here in the Roman Show. And guys, you've seen the success. You've seen the guests that we have here. We go as far as Thailand, guys. So, again, romandh@yahoo.com is the email to reach out to us and to sponsor the Roman Show. All right, and Guillermo from Fighters, we go to Lou of Get 'em Boy Clothing Line. He is going to tell us a little bit about his clothing line that he got. Lou, welcome to the Roman Show, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rome? How you doing?
Pretty good, sir, pretty good. Now, Lou, earlier on we were speaking before the radio show, and by the way, Guillermo Garcia, my co-host, is on the line. Lou, you have a very interesting story about your clothing attire. You definitely have the logo of a pit bull, but it all started because of your son, who's autistic.
Absolutely.
If you could just detail us and what a touching story you have to say about this, Lou.
Absolutely. Well, it all started like you were saying, with my son. I was working with Rough Riders Entertainment at the time. Guys, you know, with Joaquin Dean, the CEO, DMX and those guys. And he was helping them out with some, you know, promotion and marketing and all that, kind of helping them build up the lifestyle division. But I was having some personal situations at home with my son. He was 5 years old at the time. And I just had found out that my son was autistic. And not only was he autistic, but he was deaf. And we had a hell of a time with the school system that just wasn't, you know, doing their job as educators for him, kind of letting them slip by the system, wasn't using the funding that they were getting from the government to help my son. On top of that, you know, the community wasn't helping out at the time, you know what I mean? Kids around the neighborhood, the parents, you know, shunned them. So we were in a tough situation where we just felt by ourselves. The only comfort that my son had at the time were our American Pit Bull Terriers. You know, he found solace in that. They found solace in him because they were going through the exact same thing he was going through, being alone, being shunned by the community, you know, not having an outlet just because they were who they were. And when I saw my son would come alive when those dogs were around, I saw those dogs come alive when he was around. And, you know, I called him my Get 'em Boy. It was something that Rough Riders embraced. Guys like DMX embraced the lifestyle, the call name. And at that point, I decided to start the clothing line, not after a pit bull, not after an illegal lifestyle, but Get 'em Boy was all about his story on how he overcame obstacles by any positive means necessary. Because I tell you what, my son loves life. Every day he wakes up with a smile on his face, and he, you know, He goes forward just a happy-go-lucky kid. And I said, you know, that to me is my inspiration. And if I could do something for him, you know, that would be a long-lasting legacy of his story. You know, I was determined to do that. So Get 'Em Boy was birthed through that.
Wow, well, that's definitely a touching story. Now, tell me about the clothing line you have. What makes it different compared to these other guys there, you know, the Affliction and the Tap Outs? What sets you guys apart? And from what I understand, you're just not directed to the MMA community.
No, not at all. When we first started, we wanted to do a brand that was basically in the streetwear. We knew it was a little different because the kind of space we were playing in, as far as people that would appreciate and love the dogs or love an inspirational story, we knew we had a niche. On top of that, you know, from meeting people like Rampage and, the big name fighters, entertainers like Paul Wall, Swiss Beats, that just saw the niche name and just kind of fell in love with just the call name. And they said, listen, Lou, you got to take that to the next level because that right there is hot. So we wanted to play in our own field, but, you know, when we were getting calls from agents that were in the NBA, MLB, NFL football player agencies, you know what I mean, everybody saying, listen, my players want to wear your gear, we knew we had something. On top of that, you know, I come from a fight background myself. I was a professional fighter, so it just made sense for me to play in that field of fighting. And with MMA being the fastest growing sport out there, we wanted to make our name heard not only in boxing but MMA as well. But we're going, you know, we're still playing with the street gear and all that. And as far as what sets us apart, it's the name. And our market is so wide where we have literally grown grandmothers that wear the gear. We have babies that wear the gear. And we have urban and guys from every sports walk that you can think of. So, you know, a lot of people are showing love and it's catching on like wildfire, man. We're really happy with what's going on.
Wow. Now, where can people purchase the Get 'Em Boy attire, Drew?
We have an online store, getemboy.com. We're also working out a lot of deals with some retail stores. In the Florida area, we do have a store out there. It's called Brooklyn Style Boutiques. That is where selling it. We also have Evolution MMA in South Florida that's selling it right now. And if anybody's interested in selling the gear, any stores out there that want the gear, they can email me at lou@getemboy.com or info@getemboy.com. We'll set them up and get them retailed ASAP. So anybody
Lou,
that wants
can
that
we give on a free T-shirt, my man?
Absolutely, man. I want to, you know, throw a free T-shirt out to a guy and a free T-shirt out to a girl. You do whatever you got to do it, man. I'll get a hold of you and we'll get it over to them.
There we go. So for any ladies out there or for any gentlemen out there who wants to get a free T-shirt from a man, Lou, of Get 'Em Boy, just go ahead and email me at RomanDH, that's R-O-M-A-N-D-H, @yahoo.com, and I'll make sure to pass the word, and Lou will go ahead and ship you a free T-shirt, and that's for a lady or a male. So, again, Get 'Em Boy, check them out. The website, Lou?
www.getemboy.com or shop.getemboy.com.
You got to give us one too, Lou. I want to make sure I sport it at the next
Absolutely.
MMA event.
Absolutely, and Rome, I want to say this. I want to give one to a girl and a guy. So one guy,
Absolutely.
One girl, you know what I'm saying? We'll hook them up and I got you. It's not a problem.
Absolutely, Lou. All right, so there you go, guys. Again, email me at RomanDH@yahoo.com or just go ahead and tweet me. We're very interactive here, Lou. @RomanDH. Tweet me @RomanDH or just go ahead and tweet to Guillermo @Stone16 or on Facebook, Rodolfo R. Roman at the fan page. Whatever it may be, I'll get in contact with Lou. We'll make sure that we give a beautiful lady or a gentleman a shirt to sport at the next MMA show. Lou, thank you so very much for calling in tonight, and you enjoy the rest of the night or whatever's left of it, right?
Absolutely. I got lots to do, my man. Thank you so much for having us, my man.
Thank you, sir, and you have a great night. Thank you very much.
You too.
Guillermo, an exciting show tonight. We're running out now, about 5 minutes left into the hour show. I know last time we had extended it. But you know, Guillermo, I want to leave in a final note. Before we leave, we're going to play this interview of UFC fighter Alex Caceres, who was a part of CFA number 3 in Miami, Florida. In fact, CFA number 4 is taking place on December 17th. There's already been talks of a couple of fights out there. Do you want to check that out? But Guillermo, let's finish this interview about Alex Caceres, who's preparing to fight in November in the first ever UFC on Fox. And that is a major event that's going to put the MMA community or the MMA sport at a whole nother level. In fact, Alex Caceres will be fighting on the show. Now, Dana White has not said where these fights will be aired, but he will be a part of it, and he's going to be fighting against Cole Escobedo. But this time around, he's not going to be fighting in his original weight class. He's moving down to bantamweight. So it's his debut in a bantamweight. Guillermo, we're going to play here this quick interview, and we will be back to close out the show. Here we go.
All right, Rodolfo Roman with The Roman Show with Bruce Leroy, better known as Alex Caceres here in South Florida. Bruce, I remember watching you, your first fight at the AAA, I think it was, one of your first fights at American Airlines Arena. Quite some time, Bruce.
Yeah, that was a while ago. That was my second fight, actually, against Tulio Quintanilla. We went way back. We fought each other, and it was a good fight, man. He was very, I believe he's still fighting now on the CFA cards, but yeah, it was quite a while ago. It's pretty amazing to see how far.
You definitely got it more far than your opponent now since you're in the UFC. But let's talk about your UFC career right now. You're changing weight class this time around. How are you taking this? You feel it's a lot better for you. What are your thoughts?
Well, honestly, I definitely don't necessarily have any biased opinions about it. I wasn't necessarily the person that wanted to cut the weight. I mean, I want to stay at 145. I never felt as a strength or weight was a problem for me at 145. I felt pretty strong, but my conditioning was off. But the UFC wants me to fight at 135, so, I mean, I could deny them, but, I mean, it's the UFC, so I want to fight. So I'm gonna cut the 135. I believe I can make it. It shouldn't be a hard cut. And I feel good about it. I feel strong cutting this weight. I don't feel slower. I'm working a whole lot more on my endurance, so maybe that's playing a factor in my good health right now, but it should be good.
And so, you know, 10-pound difference there. How much are you weighing right now?
Right now, I'm probably 150 pounds.
You're going to be cutting soon, because you're fighting in November.
Yeah.
Fox. That's a big deal, Alex. You're going to be fighting in that first Fox show, that UFC Fox show. I mean, that's huge. You're going to get a lot, possibly, maybe a lot more people compared to your pay-per-view crowd, since it's going to be on free TV.
Yeah, that is pretty huge. I'm trying not to think about it too much as to alleviate some of the pressure, but it is pretty a big deal. I guess Dana White really likes me. I did lose 2 in a row in the UFC on both my fights in the UFC, so he's keeping me around, which I really thank him for, and I'm trying to show for it this fight coming up, and I want to thank him as well for putting me on the first Fox show. So it is a big deal to me, and if it is an exciting fight, it would be live on the air. So I'm shooting for that, and I'm looking forward to all the great exposure he's going to get me.
Yeah, he hasn't said yet if the other fights will be airing, because we have Kane and Junior Dos Santos for sure they're going to be showing.
Yeah.
There's no possible fight your match. And I know Clay Guida and Benson are also, Benson, Anderson are on that fight card, so who knows? But I'm sure a lot of people will tune in. So it's your third time the Lucky Charm. Hopefully you get this victory. Now, what do you think Dana White showed you some slack?
Well, I mean, it's the same, I guess, with anybody that I would meet or any promoter that I will talk to or anybody that's in a high place. I mean, I believe they see a lot of potential in me, and I don't think it's misplaced either. I see a lot in myself. It's just me getting it together, you know, and hitting it hard. All the fights that I lost, I never really got hurt in or I never really got beat up. You know, I would make ridiculous mistakes and I would slip up and they would catch me. So it's not a factor of how tough I am or how strong I am, but the skill-wise and experience-wise, you know, fighting in front of that crowd and just being on the UFC, I mean, it's pretty surreal. For me, I used to dream about it when I was always a kid, so he's cutting some slack. I think he's cutting me some slack just because I think he sees that I could be one of the great ones, and, you know, I feel that I can, so, and I'm trying to hit it hard, and I'm glad that he's giving me this opportunity to do so.
Alex, I remember speaking to you in that fight here in Miami. Yeah, I definitely tell you matured a lot. Do you think it's because you hit the stage just changes you as a person, as a fighter?
Well, I mean, it definitely had to do a lot with the losses, as well as just growing, you know, as a person. I mean, yeah, I've hear changes in my voice as well, even in my mannerisms. It's pretty crazy. And, yeah, it does feel like I've matured a little bit more, but, you know, it definitely comes with the time. I mean, I got to admit, when I first got introduced, I was too young, you know, too young to be on the UFC. I was wilding out, you know. I would party almost every night and all this stuff. I definitely cleaned up everything, man. And I can't really say what it is, but it definitely something like kind of clicked, you know. I was kind of told myself, like, hey, I'm in the UFC, and this is not a dream, you know. This is for real, you know.
You have to pinch yourself.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that last loss was kind of like the pinch to wake me up. It's like, hey, you're in the UFC, you know, start working like you're in it. So that's what I've been doing so far, and I guess that's the change that I have now.
Yeah, I mean, you were an Ultimate Fighter, and you've been catching up this season, I'm sure, and you know, some of the stuff that happened to you is just outrageous. And you mentioned some of the things that I want to observe. So now coming into this arena as a mature fighter, as a mature person, how does this set this career for you in this martial arts?
Well, to be honest, having this mentality change, you know, it's pretty intense. Like, I want to fight, don't get me wrong. I want to do the best that I can, and I want to be the best that I can be in this in the UFC, you know. I want to see if I can make it all the way, but there's a more of a pulling where I just want to master the craft, you know. It's like bigger than myself, and it's bigger than the other fighter that I'm fighting. It's bigger than the other people that I'm training with, you know. I think I just want to master my craft, you know, and pass it on to further and further generations. I think that's where my heart truly lies, you know. When I was doing some soul searching, I could see that that's why I'm fighting, you know. That's why I'm trying to be the best that I can be, because, I mean, I wanna spread it out. I wanna spread it out there. I want martial arts to spread out there, and I want it to spread out right. So I gotta be as good as I can get. So I know that the water that I'm giving them is not from a tainted source, you know. So
135 is very competitive. You know, a lot of fast guys. Again, it's not your choice, and it's kind of why you're putting it to 135. You up for the challenge?
Definitely, definitely. I'm up for the challenge, you know. Things don't necessarily happen the way we want them to, but, you know, we got to take what we got, and we got to work with it the best we can. And if they want to make the drop to 135, then I'm going to drop it confidently, and I'm going to take this fight. I'm training harder than I have been before, and training more disciplined than I have been before. My diet's different. So I feel really great coming to this fight, and I'm up for the challenge, you know. I mean, it's going to be a high-paced weight class, but I usually tend to slow things down with my opponents, and not necessarily in a slow way, but I mean, usually I just like to keep it at my pace, especially if it stays on the feet. I'm pretty good at controlling that pace, so I'm not really too worried about them coming out explosive. I've met so many people that way. I mean, I was fighting at 145 before. It's not much of a difference. They all come swinging for the fences sometimes.
And where are you training now?
I'm still training here down in Miami at Young Tigers Foundation and at Zen Jiu-Jitsu's with Enrico Coco, as well as I dabble in some of the ATTs up north to do some sparring with different people. And basically, a lot of conditioning on tracks and whatnot, but mostly just training in the gyms that I still have in Miami. Was going to plan on going to Canada, but we're too close to the fight now to change anything up, so I don't want to be traveling too much.
Yeah, I don't have you mature, but I see your hair's gone now.
Well, you know, if they want me to get down that low, the pro has to go. So that's basically it, you know. Anything to help with the weight, so I just cut it off. And, you know, I just had it for so long. My head was getting kind of cramped, so I just had to let it breathe for a while, you know.
Does it bug you to have that pro when you fight, or is it better just having a shave? Do you think it's a lot better?
To me, it really doesn't make a difference. I mean, to be honest with you, the fro sometimes got me out of a lot of hairy situations. Sometimes they'll put a choke on, and they'll think they'll be choking my head, but it was my fro they're squeezing, so I was able to slip out, or some kicks actually grazed past the hair, didn't even hit my head, so that kind of saved me on a couple of occasions. But to me, it doesn't really make a difference, you know, bald head or with hair. It doesn't slow me down, doesn't make me hotter. But, you know, we're just, you know, it comes and goes, man, you know, it's hair.
Well, Alex, it's been a pleasure to talk to you here, and I understand you're going to do very well here representing Miami. You're still young, so you're still good to go. So,
yeah, still 23.
There you go. Alex, thank you so very much for taking your time and talking to me here at the Roman Show. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Well, there you go. Those are the comments of Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres, who will be fighting in November at the UFC on Fox, the first time that they will be on national broadcasting television. Funny thing there about the afro, Guillermo, you know, when he was known for that afro, but I was talking to Alex way back in his career, and you can tell the difference and the maturity of this man. He has definitely grown up, Guillermo.
Yeah, he was quite the clown when he was on The Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, clowns, for the most part, don't make it in the UFC. You have to be serious about honing your craft. And once you take it seriously, that's when you can start making strides towards the top.
And maybe third time is the charm for Alex Caceres.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
He's going to have to work his way back up, probably. He has to win this fight, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. All right, Guillermo, that's it for tonight. The Roman Show MMA Edition. Make sure you tune in next Wednesday. We will have some more exciting guests. We're working on getting a Sure Dog's Jordan Breen on our show. And Guillermo, man, if we get this guest, I don't want to release it yet, but if we get this guest, it just proves to you the power that the Roman Show has. Let's just say he's mentioned already on the show, and he has played a major role on Lyoto Machida and Anderson Silva. But that's just the key.
I wonder who it could be.
Well, let's see what we get out of it. All right, Guillermo, thanks so much. Like always, follow him on Twitter, StoneFace16. Follow me on Twitter at RomanDH. Look me up on Facebook, facebook.com/RodolphoRRoman, or the website, RodolphoRoman.com. And here on The Roman Show, it's all about professionalism and credible sources. That is what we stand for, the principles of journalism. Guillermo, for Guillermo, my co-host, this is Rodolfo Roman of The Roman Show. We will see you next Wednesday, same time, here on The Roman Show. Good night, guys.
You are about to listen to The Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let The Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let The Roman Show begin.